What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The hometown girl is back in town tonight. Melissa Etheridge at Starlight Theater. It's going to be a scorcher tonight, but she will be there. And if you have never seen her, Sam and I went and saw her play in Leavenworth. Sam, what was that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
I don't care. It was awesome.
It was awesome. It is a show worth seeing. She is absolutely brilliant.
Welcome home, girl. And did a private fundraiser last night for CASA in Leavenworth that was amazing. I had many friends that were there, and she stayed and took photos with everybody. So it's always good to have her home.
So a couple of weeks ago, and if you're not aware, and it's a fantastic exhibit, Union Station is celebrating the 100th anniversary of Disney, and they have a brilliant exhibit downtown at Union Station, of course. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the voice of Goofy come into the studio and really, really enjoyed our conversation with the voice of Goofy. Today, we welcome in Brett Iwin, who is the voice of probably the most iconic cartoon character of all time, Mickey Mouse.
Who, me? Mickey? Oh, gosh. Happy to be here, Scott.
Hello, Brett. How
but
are
I don't
you?
Sound like that all the time, I promise.
Yeah. You actually have an incredible voice, an incredible deep voice.
Thank you. Tell my agent that.
Right?
I would love to get some more work in the voiceover industry, but all I've seemed to nail down is Mickey.
How did Mickey Mouse come into your life?
Well, Mickey came into my life at a very early age. I've been a Disney fan my entire life. I've been a fan of Disney art as long as I can remember. So I actually learned to draw by drawing Mickey. That started a fascination with the Disney animation process, and I set my sights on being a Disney artist from a very young age. Went to art school because of that.
Wow.
Ended up in Kansas City, actually, working for Hallmark greeting cards as an illustrator and artist.
Now, you're not from here.
I'm not. No. Born and raised out in Southern California. Went to school in Florida. But this is where the job was. So I moved to Kansas City. Somewhat reluctantly at first, I will be honest. The recruiting package, I remember specifically, had a picture of a green field with lots of cows. And I was like, that's all Kansas City has to offer.
Package?
Yeah, I think they've enhanced it since then.
Was it a joke?
Yeah, maybe it was, but the joke went over my head. Anyway, I fell in love with Kansas City. I was so happy to have made that move and was here for 5 years. And that's when a friend of mine who works for Disney sent me this information. They were holding auditions to be an understudy for the voice of Mickey Mouse at the time. She knew I was a Mickey fan and that I did an impression for fun, and that's why she sent it my way. So literally, the Mickey voice gig fell into my lap.
Voice truly. Actors will tell you, and especially the incredible ones that we've been so blessed to meet over the years, mm-hmm. that it's one thing for someone to be able to do one impression. It's another for someone to jump to become a voice actor. And so you must have done one hell of an impression. Because you got the gig.
I mean, and I've learned that. It's very true. You know, we meet so many people who are like, I do voices. I want to be a voice actor. And you mentioned Bill Farmer, one of my nearest and dearest friends, yes. the voice of Goofy. He is notorious for telling everybody that his mentor told him, it's not voice acting, it's voice acting. And it really is about acting. The funny voices and the impressions enhance it for sure, but it's really about acting. And I'll be the first to admit, I literally stumbled into this role knowing Mickey and knowing how to do a Mickey impression, but I think it's only because I knew the character of Mickey as well as I did that I was able to kind of jump into that voice acting role
as an artist. You knew him as an artist.
Yeah. I mean, and my fandom of Disney goes all the way back to being fascinated with Walt Disney, you know, who is pretty much Mickey himself. It's Walt and Mickey are the same. So having been familiar with the cartoons and the movies and everything, I knew Mickey's personality, his character traits. So I wasn't going in just saying, oh, boy. Like, I knew the things Mickey would and wouldn't say. And I was very familiar with his past performances. And I think subconsciously that definitely influenced me to be able to take a chance like that.
But Brett, I love what you said. It's not voice acting. It's voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is more than just, hey, I can do this voice.
Yeah.
You have to be able to act with that voice. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of animation, but there are some, you know, animated movies that I absolutely just love, you know, Toy Story being one of them. I love the Toy Story franchise. What Tom Hanks does and some of those other actors with their voices is true acting.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, I can do, you know, this voice and it sounds funny and it... You're really acting,
yeah.
Even though you're not being seen.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't just throw away the performance. You can't go in there and just read the lines and hope that sounding like a character is enough. And Tom Hanks is a great example of that. You know, I love the behind-the-scenes footage of Toy Story, for example, because yes. those animators are going and they're pulling, when they're casting, they're pulling Tom Hanks dialogue from Splash and from Big and all these other things, and they're animating to it to see if that voice and that performance, like works. The performance works with the character, and it did for Tom. But absolutely, you know, you're behind the scenes and you are acting. And I always say you're almost at a disadvantage of being a voice actor because you're not on stage. You don't get to rely on your body movements or, you know, the subtleties of acting with your facial expressions. It's all from the voice. And you got to hope that that's coming across, you know.
Now, when you're the voice of Mickey Mouse, which you are, is anybody else allowed to be the voice of Mickey Mouse or is it literally just you?
Well, I am the official voice of Mickey Mouse and have been since 2009. So yes, I'm the one that is called upon. There is another actor, Chris Diamantopoulos, who has voiced Mickey. There's a series of shorts that came out, the Mickey Mouse shorts that artist Paul Rudish was the creator of. And so that's, I always say, that's like a Mickey verse. There's a multiverse there where that's one iteration of Mickey. And when they created that series, it's like harkening back to the old school Mickey days. It's a little bit more wild and zany. And we're not going to get into it here, but for reasons, you know, casting reasons, they went with that route because they wanted a Mickey to sound a little bit differently. So that's, in my career, that's the only iteration of somebody else voicing Mickey. But
can you talk a little bit about how Mickey transcends generations? And so you could have a 95-year-old woman come up to you and just be the joy on that person's face, but then also the children.
Absolutely. No, Mickey, that's the best way to put it. He does transcend generations. You know, I was recently part of a great documentary called Mickey, the Story of a Mouse, which is on Disney Plus right now. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And it does a fantastic job of taking you along Mickey's journey from 1928 to today. And there's a Disney artist named Floyd Norman who has become a great friend of mine. And he's so inspirational in his analysis of Mickey. It's saying that Mickey truly is a reflection of all of us at every point in history. So, you know, Mickey has Mickey doesn't change, right? Like Mickey, we know Mickey to be the steadfast, loyal leader of the club.
Right.
He's fallible because as Walt said, he's an everyman. He's a little personality assigned to the purpose of laughter is how Walt put it. Okay. But over the years, you know, Mickey has adjusted to fit whatever current state we're in. And so, yeah, whether you're 95 and grew up alongside Mickey or you're 5 years old discovering him on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, there's something so endearing and charming and relatable because he's almost like he's a mirror. He just reflects us. So, I mean, yeah, it's hard not to fall in love with Mickey.
Are you a student of Mickey Mouse? I mean, do you go back to the Steamboat Willie days of 1928?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important in this role, in any legacy role, you know, it's not about what you're bringing to the character at this point. I'm the fourth Mickey. Been doing it for 15 years now. There will be a fifth official voice of Mickey. There will be a sixth. Hopefully this character continues to live on a long time after I'm done. My predecessor was named Wayne Allwine. He did it for 32 years. The guy before him, Jimmy McDonald, he literally took the role over from Walt Disney. And when Wayne assumed the role, his predecessor, Jimmy, said, "Remember, kid, you're only filling in for the boss."
So Walt Disney was the original Mickey Mouse?
Walt Disney was the very first.
You're
so Steamboat
only
Willie?
Filling in Walt for Disney. The boss. I love that line.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I, you know, whether I'm just thinking it subconsciously or say it out loud every once in a while, it's a good reminder, you know.
Like you're a steward of the character.
You are, because I think it's very common in this industry to assume a role and you're like, now's my chance. I get to put my mark on it. And there's a lot of acting roles that require that, right?
Sure.
You know, but I think for me personally, at least, is very important to remember I'm just doing my part currently to keep this legacy going as long as I can.
Okay, hard left turn. What's the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you? And do you have groupies like Goofy does?
Goofy has groupies.
Goofy definitely has groupies. I think the disadvantage Bill has is he's been doing it, what, 37 years now? I'm only at 15. So maybe I'm just not as aware of the groupies that I have. I'm sure they're out there. If you are, please don't let me know.
Are you ever like in public and I don't want to pretend that you're pretentious or anything like that, but like you already know me
so well.
You're a voice actor, so most people probably don't know your face.
Absolutely.
You're sitting on a subway in New York City and you're sitting next to somebody and you think to yourself, this person has no idea that they're sitting next to Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's happened a lot where we were in the airport coming out here, and this family sat right next to us in the Delta lounge, and the little girl, the dad presented her with pancakes, and they were three pancakes in the shape, and she goes, "Daddy, Mickey Mouse." And it was so hard for me not to be like, "Did you say my name?"
Oh my gosh, you should have. That would have been hilarious.
Would you like some syrup with that?
Girl just
but
faints.
But then I realized, well, it faints, or the dad comes, looks at me like, "Hey, creeper, like,
hey, listen here, creepy
listen
guy.
Here, buddy, like, take your coffee and go someplace else." So I'm very smart not to, but there are a lot of moments when I think like it would be a cool, it's a cool little superpower to
theoretically could Mickey Mouse get you out of a traffic ticket theoretically.
I doubt it. I'm not sure I want to try that.
Brett,
I'd be tempted.
Please do
but...
and report back.
Brett Iwin, the voice of Mickey Mouse, in town for the Disney 100 exhibit at Union Station. It runs through November 30th. Can you stick around for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Will you send us to a quick break? Just say, quick time out. We'll be right back on KMBZ.
Well, we'll be
right back
on KMBC. Mickey wouldn't say it, but Brett can.
There you go.
You immediately knew that was your predecessor. How did you know?
One of my special skill sets is I can hear the differences in the Mickey voice. I could tell you Walt. I could tell you Jimmy and Wayne for sure.
Because when Sam came back with that Mickey Mouse, I looked over at you, Brett Iwin, who is the official voice of Mickey Mouse. He is in town for the Disney 100 celebration at Union Station. By the way, panel tonight at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yep. Tickets 6 are o'clock. Still available.
Yeah, but a few remaining, yes.
When Sam played that, I looked over and I said, "Is that you?" And you said, "No, that's my predecessor." Yeah. You immediately knew that.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you ever in the same room with the other actors who are portraying even Minnie Mouse? I think it would be so much easier. Like for Scott and I to do what we do, it's way easier to be in the same room.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm jealous of you two in this setup, actually, because it's very rare that we're all in the same room. Yeah. Anymore, it's so much easier. We'll go through an entire episode solo. And thankfully, we know each other so well at this point that I know how Minnie's going to read the line. I know how Goofy's going to read the line. But
don't you want to read their body language?
Oh, I mean, I would love to. That's why I actually love Bill and I do a lot of stuff on the road. We go to different Comic Cons around the country different events like we're here for this week. And it's great to work alongside him because it's a totally different vibe. It's the name of the game anymore. It's easier to edit the episodes together. Back in the day, though, when on like reel to reel, they were all in a room doing ensemble reads. And I've heard great stories about it. As, you know, they'd get into laughing fits where they couldn't get the episode done because they're making jokes, So
I'm not putting you on the spot, but have you been to the exhibit yet? And if not, I want to hear your thoughts on it. And you can even tweet me because I just looked you up on Twitter after you see it, because there's such rich history in Kansas City about Walt Disney and specifically about Mickey's journey to you, really.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, put me on the spot. I love talking about this. When I moved to Kansas City, one of the things I was most excited about was the Walt Disney history. I knew all about it. Everything from Walt's Laugh-O-Gram studio to the bank Roy worked in to the family house over on, this was on Troost, I think. But I love that this exhibit is fantastic. It takes you through so many different eras of Disney history. It's really unique here at Union Station. They've curated a really special Kansas City specific room right before you enter the main exhibit, which shows you artifacts from Hallmark. You know, Walt and J.C. Hall, the founder of Hallmark, had a great relationship. And they're just, you know, it just highlights all that great Kansas City history. I'm excited because, you know, much like Walt, not to compare myself to Walt by any means, but Walt got on the train at Union Station and headed out to Hollywood. back in 1923 when he founded the Disney company. I left Kansas City and drove myself out to Hollywood to start my Mickey journey. So it's very symbiotic for me in that. But I'm here even more specifically because this morning, we just unveiled Mickey's 95th birthday portrait. There's only been 8 official portraits commissioned by the company over Mickey's history. The 8th one was just revealed this morning, and I was commissioned to be the artist who painted it.
Oh, wow.
So it's been on display in London in the touring exhibit, and it just landed here in Kansas City. It's one of the last things you will see as you leave the exhibit. So it's a big deal for me career-wise, really combining my artistic career, which got its start here in Kansas City.
That is so
cool. And my connection to Mickey, and it's converged in a painting that's now on display. So I'll be talking about that and so many other things
tonight.
And
will it just like travel?
That I'm not sure. I think it's going to stay in Kansas City for a while. Yeah. I don't know where it will end up after that. I mean, eventually it'll be in the Walt Disney Archives, but
wow.
As long as this exhibit's going on, it might visit around.
That's
I don't know.
So neat.
We'll see.
Growing up as a kid, such a huge fan of Disney and Mickey Mouse, and now you're the voice of Mickey Mouse. Do you have to pinch yourself sometimes?
Daily.
And just say, I cannot believe that I am the voice of the most iconic cartoon character.
Or like at a cocktail party, not in Hollywood. If people go, I'm sorry, what do you do for a living? Like there's that moment, like if you go to Harvard, there's that moment where you're like, oh, I went to Harvard. Is it weird for you to say, well, kind of unusual, but I'm the voice of, I'm Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, it's absolutely weird.
And then they go,
weird.
Liar.
Yeah, right?
And then they're like, prove it. Do the voice. I pinch myself daily. I mean, it's so cheesy and so hokey to say, but it is a dream come true, a dream that I didn't know I had. I didn't go around saying, I want to be the voice of Mickey Mouse. I said, I want to work for Disney someday. I want to be a Disney artist. This seat that I currently get to sit in as the voice of Mickey Mouse gives me the best view of the company. I get to work on everything from the theme parks to the cruise ships to TV shows to talking toys, apps, you know, the Apple Watch. Just at lunch today, someone was like, so is that you when I tap on the time? Sure is.
Like,
wow. What time is it now?
It's 2:31.
Like, I got to do that. So it's surreal. And the more people I meet and the more people who share their connection with the character and how excited they are by him and what he means to them, you know, truly, at the end of the day, I am just a fan who constantly sits back and go, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky that I get to do this.
We have so many little kids who listen to the program, and I'm curious what your family thought about your dream. Did you have anyone in your friend circle or family who said, this is crazy, you can't make a living doing this? Because I always want our children who are listening to know, like, if you can dream something, put in the work, you can make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate that I come from a family who's been very encouraging of any creative endeavor I ever went on. You know, my parents were like, you want to be an artist? Do it.
Yeah.
But this specific opportunity, voicing Mickey, was a risk. I had to take a chance. It was something I'd never done before. And truth be told, I was a really shy and timid person. I liked being in my little comfort zone, and Kansas City and Hallmark were that for me. So the thought of auditioning for and then moving out to LA to be part of a business I knew nothing about was terrifying. But I knew in that moment, if I didn't take the chance, it would be something I'd regret the rest of my life. And I'm so glad I did it. So in sharing my story, you know, I never wanted to be like, look all the cool things I do. I'm hoping that, to your point, someone's listening, whether a kid or an adult at any phase in life, is able to hear about somebody who is passionate about something and took a chance, and they maybe say, maybe I can do that. You know, and it could be something as simple as a new hobby. It doesn't have to be a total career shift.
Right.
You mean like becoming the voice of Mickey Mouse?
Like becoming the voice of Mickey Mouse. That's crazy. Who would think they could do that? there are more attainable things in life, I think. But no, absolutely. I mean, it's just I've been on an amazing wild ride, and I hope I get to continue to be on one, all because I was willing to take a chance. And I think that's the important. It's like life is an adventure. I love learning. I love trying new things. And that's truly what got me here. So, yeah.
Love it. 6 o'clock tonight. Tickets still available?
I think so. A few.
Right. Go to the Union Station website. It's unionstation.org, correct? Unionstation.org. And you're going to do a Q&A after. So
I will,
audience members have questions. I'm assuming you'll bring out Mickey and that fabulous voice at some point this evening.
He tends to follow me around. Right. So.
Can you do it just one more time, just for fun?
Gosh, it's been so great chatting with you both. I hope to see you real soon.
Brett Iwan, the voice of Mickey Mouse. He's at Union Station tonight for the Disney 100. The panel starts at 6 p.m. this evening. What a pleasure. I grew up on Mickey Mouse too, and I have Disney Plus at home. I'm going home tonight, and I'm going to watch one of your movies.
Okay, thank you.
I can't wait.
Thank you. Highly recommend Mickey, the Story of a Mouse.
What a pleasure. Brett, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Scott.
Really enjoy it.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm gonna be honest, I feel like a little kid again. Sam had a great question. I wish I had time to ask it when he was talking about his smartwatch.
I really wanted to know.
And he said, so yeah, if you hook it up so that Mickey reads you the time, it's 2:31. Sam said in my ear, he goes, did he have to do that for every time
minute
of the day?
It's 2:32.
It's 2:33.
This is taking hours.
There better be a break.
Can I get a 5-minute break?
It's 5:45.
Isn't that so fun?
So the panel is tonight at 6. There are tickets still available if you want to go down to Union Station and meet with Brett Iwin, the voice of Mickey Mouse. He was a delight.
How incredible, too. There have only been 4 Mickey Mouses.
One of them being Walt Disney himself.
The first and original being Walt Disney. What a gift. What an absolute gift that was today.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for setting that up. CNN, consumers have reached their breaking point with $6 iced coffees and lemonades at Starbucks. $6 iced coffees and lemonades.
Okay.
Starbucks sales have dropped 3% globally at stores open for at least a year, including a 2% drop here in North America.
Oh.
And $6 is the small.
Which is called the...
Venti?
I don't know.
No, Venti is the big one.
Why can't they just do small,
no,
medium,
Trent
and large?
Is the No. I know what you're saying.
Grande?
Is oh, it yeah. The grande is small, the small? Because big means small.
Right.
Big price.
Yeah, grand
small
means
cup.
Small. Fewer people are going to Starbucks and buying drinks and food. Starbucks' second straight quarter of sales declines.
Well, yeah, but they're still making 10 bajillion trillion dollars.
Yeah, they're not worried where the next meal's coming from. But what they're saying, though, is that people have said enough is enough. These prices are too high. I mean, we saw this with a lot of fast food chains.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Wendy's, McDonald's.
You start inching up to $12, $15 for a value meal. It's so, like, whoa.
So now they're doing $5 value meals at McDonald's because people were not going to McDonald's anymore.
Well, it took me 2 trips to Starbucks to get food because I've done it twice to realize that they were just throwing the sandwich from the freezer into the microwave.
Well.
It's not worth $7.
All right. Help me understand something, please, because our friend Justin over at KCI just posted this. They are now celebrating again the busiest month ever in Kansas City's air travel history. So I ask you, back to the cost of things and inflation and all the things we talk about, is it now continuously the busiest month ever because they've added stops or they've added flights or I think the new airport has something to do with it, but why does it keep being the busiest month ever?
Well in large part, inflation has not, it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, inflation has not really hit into air travel.
Right. If you want to go somewhere and you have the money you will crimp and save in other areas of your life.
Also, we had a story earlier this week, I believe, or late last, where Americans are willing to go into debt to travel.
Yeah.
They don't care that it's going to put them in debt. Americans love to travel, and they will travel.
Well, and a lot of it is the new airport, because now that we have more desirable amenities, more airlines are willing to use us as a layover point, which was not the case
before.
Right,
because I don't think it's because, hey, we got a new airport, now let's go fly more.
No,
I don't think it's that.
I think
they've added stops or flights, and then because of that, the volume
but air travel
increases.
I mean, think about this. Air travel is still relatively inexpensive. For example, We're going back to we're making our second trip to Cancun in September this year, and for a week. And the total package is, I think, $2,400.
Okay, yeah.
That includes air travel, ground transportation, and an all-inclusive resort. Okay, it was the same cost when I started going to Cancun in 2011. It was roughly $2,000 and something for a week.
I don't know that I'm willing to go into debt to travel.
Oh God, no. I'm not willing to go into debt for anything but a house.
But if you asked me, what are you more willing to spend money on than almost anything else? It would be travel.
Yeah.
And the children would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. They would rather do, I mean, I've tried to teach them this, experiences over things.
Well, now I don't think they're taking out a massive loan. Now they are putting it on the credit card, which is still taking out a loan in a sense.
Right. But you are putting it on the credit card. Yeah. So that is in and of itself, to your point, Sam, that is a loan. The credit card company is loaning you money
true.
That you have to pay back.
Good luck.
Yeah, the new terminal makes it easier for airlines to add flights. Larger aircraft, because of larger areas, connect passengers. We could not do this efficiently before. FYI, and I'm not going to tell you where that came from, but that does make sense.
Yeah, don't say who it came from.
It was Melissa Etheridge.
Which, by the way, I reached out to her and her people.
Okay, first of all, she is very busy. Second of all, you should have had me reach out because no one can get people to call them back like Dana.
I agree.
I mean, I'm just telling you. You want to hear from the baby Jessica heroes that saved that child last night? They're coming on at 4 o'clock.
That's why I spoke to them on the phone and they didn't even call me back.
I just don't give up. And then finally people go, okay.
Do you want me to reach out to her again?
No, I do not, because then I think you're bothering her.
Well, then what do you do?
That's what you do. You just said I keep reaching out until they go.
Kindness.
So did I. I even mentioned that I was from Lansing.
Look, I've already invited her onto this program to say happy birthday to you, which she did a couple of years ago. And
you did not set that up.
Michael Mackey did that.
I most certainly did set that up.
It was Michael Mackey and I.
Michael Mackey did not set that interview up.
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, here we go. He needs to call in anyway, and we can't talk about why. He made me laugh.
No, we cannot talk
so
about why.
So I am telling you, last night, everybody.
Roses are red.
I'm not going to tell you why.
Stop.
But if you've never used the audio message, I'm a big fan of the audio message. Do not drop a voice message on Dana. I hate the voicemail, but I love the audio message.
Right.
So I dropped a funny audio message on Mackie. Mackie replied with a different audio message. In fact, I can play the one where I just can't breathe and I'm laughing. There's no bad words in it. I laughed at Michael Mackey so hard last night, I physically got sick.
Well, wait.
Liz, here's one of them.
Roses are red.
Listen to this one.
You sound like a wheezing dog.
I cannot tell you what he said, but when he sent it to me, I was just watching the Olympics alone with the cats.
Well, you sent me one last night that I didn't see until this morning.
Could not breathe. I was laughing so hard, and I wish I could play you what he sent me, and I can't.
I'm only going to play a portion of what you sent me last night.
I don't think you can play it.
I was sitting in my chair in my master bedroom. I was watching the Today Show.
Primary
bedroom, whatever.
Laughter is the best medicine, I'm telling you.
By the way, when Zero Res comes over to clean my carpet,
yeah.
I'm sending you the bill because I was taking a sip of coffee watching the Today Show when I watched your video and went... And I'm not going to play the punchline.
I love making you laugh, but nobody makes me laugh like Michael Mackey.
Roses are red, violets are long.
Okay, wait.
That diver from France.
Okay, all right, we're done. I think you can figure out the rest. And when you finish the punchline, Dana, I'm not kidding you, I spit coffee onto my rug.
I will give you all the first 10 seconds of what Mackie sent, and that's all we can play. And I physically thought I was going to throw up. I was laughing. I don't know if I could.
Be careful.
It's his funny.
Let's not dance with the line.
Shamrocks are green.
Sam, this was going back and forth between everybody this morning.
While I was trying to watch.
But look at your face at the punchline. You are dying.
You thought I was going to throw up.
He's a fantastic diver.
So hard. Yes.
He's a model.
Very talented.
Very talented model.
Yes.
Very
attractive man. God bless him. Coming up, speaking of the Olympics, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we have confirmed in the last 20 minutes that we will have a local pediatric ophthalmologist on to explain why it is even more incredible than you know that pommel horse guy phenom helped bring a medal home for the United States men's gymnastics team. You know that he's got some issues with his sight. And everyone I saw today wanted to talk about this. Can we talk about pommel horse guy? Like, what's going on? Like, what was on, going on with his eyes? Why does he wear glasses? So I reached out to KU yesterday.
And why doesn't he wear them when he performs?
Yeah, I'm like, we got to talk about this. Yeah. What is this? So we have an expert on to talk about what his affliction is and why it is even more incredible that he does that routine. He's not blind, but he certainly does not have the sight that you would think he would have to have for that incredible performance.
I know. Get to that and much more coming up in just a moment. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Somebody said on the text line, I would give millions to hear the end of Mackie's and Dana's poems.
Oh my God.
With millions, we could retire. So if you're serious about that.
This is why we cannot have cameras in the studio. We watched it again during the break.
Write the check and we'll play it.
I'll send you my Venmo.
I'm telling you, there is something about laughing so hard, like that hard, where I could not talk. I could not breathe. Oh, I was crying. It is better than any drug or any glass of wine in the history of the world. I really do believe laughter, for me, is this enormous, crazy dopamine release. Even if I'm in a bad mood.
Oh, it is a drug, and I use that term loosely.
And I was in a decent mood last night. Like, I wasn't necessarily in a bad mood.
Right.
But, you know, I was kind of winding down. I was watching gymnastics, hanging out with my cats. And that happened, and I'm telling you, I woke up in the middle of the night laughing about it. And then I woke up this morning laughing about it.
And then I destroyed my carpet.
You woke up laughing about it.
You.
What?
You destroyed your carpet? Ew.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, I spit coffee all over it. Had to run downstairs.
MoDOT just posted this, and I believe it. And so I'm going to pass this on for anyone going. No, I do not, Scott. If anyone would like to go to Morgan Wallen tomorrow night.
He's a diver.
He's at Arrowhead Stadium August 1st and 2nd. And this is very important.
Man's got a rudder.
Wow.
Stop it. This is from MoDOT. Access to the stadium from northbound 435 may be impacted due to ongoing lane closures as crews continue to work on the twin bridges over Raytown Road. Plan ahead tomorrow. Arrive early to the stadium. Designate a sober driver. Yada, yada, yada.
What, did I miss a memo? I mean, I knew Morgan Wallen was popular. I didn't know he was two nights at Arrowhead popular.
Oh, he's huge.
Two nights. I'm not going two nights at Arrowhead. I'm just telling you, leave early because access to the stadium from northbound 435 is going to be problematic enough at that time that MoDOT has put it out on all of their social channels.
In the same year that he went down in flames for what he was caught saying outside of his home while getting out of a car,
which was the N-word,
he won Entertainer of the Year.
He's that popular.
He is that popular.
But, you know, and you know, I'm not a huge bro country fan. I can't name a single one of his songs.
Whiskey Glasses. You probably heard that one.
Maybe.
Anyway, plan ahead. Plan accordingly.
They're also saying that it will be very hot, so drink a lot of water and try to cut back on alcohol because we've had multiple concerts recently.
I don't want to call the concert out, but I will. What was the last concert where they said they had 109 medical
calls? That was the Kenny Chesney. Mm-hmm. Every single year at the end of July, he comes to Arrowhead, people did not listen to the warnings about drinking enough water.
If you have one alcoholic drink, have one water.
I would even say all tonight and all throughout the day tomorrow, boy, you should be hydrating. It's going to be so hot.
The weather does not break until next Wednesday, a week from today. It'll be in the 90s until next Wednesday.
I was considering going. My girlfriend's a huge fan of one of his openers, Lainey Wilson.
And oh, yeah, she's very popular.
Incredibly expensive.
Yeah, by the way, late next week, we're in the 80s, low 80s. But not, we're in the 90s until then. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. And then we are back with a semi-local, it's a regional, baby Jessica story from Mound Ridge, Kansas, that occurred yesterday. We'll visit with the rescuers in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.